B-Pod Studios.
You know, they had Craig Elo on me at the time, which, in all honesty, was a mistake. Because the guy that played me better was Ron Harper.
I said, Coach, I got MJ. So the coach tells me, I'm going to put Elo on MJ. And I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever.
The inbounds pass comes into Jordan. Here's Michael at the foul line. A shot on Elo. Good! The ball's good!
I feel very vindicated from when we started the playoff. The dim look that everybody was giving us. Even I asked you in the locker room, I asked everybody, you know, what was the feeling back in Chicago? Did it write us off yet? And you said some of them have written us off. I said, well, tell those guys to stay home.
Somebody had written or said that the Bulls were going to go home. Send them home. And so when he hits the shot, go home, go home.
Get the out of here. Go anywhere but you out of here. Whoever's not with us, all you go to hell.
Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich, the Michael Jordan documentary, The Last Dance, last night, covering that iconic shot by Jordan in the Cleveland series. By the way, Ron Harper sat next to me on a plane once.
Well, Ron Harper, by the way, was a star last night. He was just like, you got to be effing kidding me. Like, they kept going back to him about not being able to guard Michael Jordan. And Elo just got just killed. Like, I mean, you even heard Jordan there. It's just like, you know, they would have put Elo on me, which, of course, was a mistake.
It also just took a great shot to beat him. That wasn't easy.
Elo,
shot
I mean,
made.
Elo, you can't, yeah, you can't
Elo played defense, good defense on that play.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, Greg Elo. I mean, we all remember Greg Elo. He's one of the great NBA players of all time, but it's funny, as I'm reading the Detroit side of the episode last night, Isaiah Thomas owned Michael Jordan. Three or four playoff series, his record against him was, like, insane. Isaiah Thomas owned that Bulls team.
Oh, sure. Okay. They
three
showed
or four playoff series. So,
oh, yeah.
I mean, it was great. The walk-off, which
but,
is
no, he. You see, I would say he owned the Bulls. I don't know if he owned Jordan.
He owned the Bulls. I mean, that Pistons team owned the Bulls.
They
I
did,
mean,
but Jordan might have been the best player on the court for,
oh, yes,
I'd say,
course.
Two of those.
Of course.
I would like to have seen the two teams match up when the Pistons were right in the middle of that great run they had, and Jordan was at the peak also.
Well,
they didn't overlap, really.
Right, but here's what was great about the East back then, is because you could see the evolution of teams.
Oh, sure.
Is that I've always said this, because you had the Celtics, and then the Celtics in these fierce rivalry with the Pistons would beat the Pistons, and finally the Pistons overcame the Celtics. Then here come the Bulls, and the Pistons, you know, are thumping on the Bulls, and then finally the Bulls are able to, you know, overcome the Pistons, and then the Pistons team is for naught. So, it's funny in retrospect looking at it, and when you what's coming from the people in Detroit and the newspapers in Detroit after watching it last night is just how much Isaiah Thomas owned the Bulls, and that Pistons team owned the Bulls.
Oh, sure, and they showed like highlights of just how they just manhandled those guys, and that's the whole reason that they focused on after the last time that they lost to the Pistons. Michael Jordan said, instead of any of us going on vacation, we all went straight to the weight room. And they said the only way we're going to be able to deal with these guys is if we get muscle, we get bigger, and we don't let them manhandle us anymore.
Summer
and they
of
talked
1990,
about that.
Yep.
Yep. And they talked about that thing that they called the Jordan rule, which I was mentioning earlier. It was basically anytime Jordan got in the paint, you knock him down. And unless they said, as soon as he gets off his feet, as soon as he leaves the ground, you're toast. So make sure you do it before he does that. And they just did this montage of Jordan getting absolutely destroyed. I mean, I can't believe the stuff. I mean, I can, because we all watched it, but maybe just because we see so much basketball now and we've been away from that type for so long that you see it on TV and you're like, oh, dude, that guy would be kicked. He'd be suspended for a week if he did that kind
of
stuff.
Well, yeah, it's hockey. It was hockey.
It was, and they even said that. They compared themselves to a hockey team. The Pistons did that. And what's great, too, is that Michael still hates those guys. Mm-hmm. And I mean, he won't let it go. And last night, you know, they showed, of course, when the Bulls finally unseated the Pistons and, you know, swept them, that the Pistons left the court, you know, without shaking anybody's hands. Famous scene. Everybody knows that. And the Pistons got killed for it. And so Isaiah Thomas, I'm not sure if this is the clip right here, but Isaiah Thomas, you know, said, you know, I'm not quite sure if I would do things the same way. And so the filmmaker, Jason Hare, who we had on, goes and shows him. He goes, I want to show you a video of Isaiah Thomas. And Michael Jordan's like, dude, I don't even care what he has to say. Like, I don't care what that A-hole has to say. So here's the clip that I got here.
Knowing what we know now in the aftermath of what took place, I think all of us would have stopped and said, hey, congratulate, like they do now. Hey, congratulate. Love you, man. Love you. Hey, congratulate you. I mean, we would have did it. Of course we would have done it. But during that period of time, that's just not how it was passed. When you lost, you left the floor. That's it.
By the way, Lambeer was on TV this morning saying, hell no, I would have done the same thing. Of course I would have stayed. I would have done the exact same thing. Why would I not? Why would I shake their guy's hands? I don't care what anybody thinks. So Lambeer's still an awesome a-hole, which I like because he's always been unapologetic.
True
I have
to himself,
no problem
yep.
with that. True to himself, whereas he's always just a snake. And just they showed it to Jordan, and Jordan's like, I don't really even care what that guy says. So he started laughing. So there was that part of it, which was great. And they got into – oh, by the way – the soundtrack for this is going to be the greatest once it's released. You want to talk about going deep? You know what Prince song they chose last night for a montage, Fred?
Party Man
off the Batman soundtrack. And it ruled. It was a montage, I believe, of Dennis Rodman. Wasn't it Dennis Rodman going crazy?
No, it was Jordan. It was Jordan.
Oh, it was okay.
Jordan
right, well,
going nuts is what that was.
Well, then I'm drawing lines between the Rodman stuff. But so we learned a couple things last night. Number one, Phil Jackson dropped acid and thought he was a lion at one point. And which was great because they had actual video footage of him as a coach in Puerto Rico, which is kind of strange to watch. I guess they were very violent. They said that one of the locals, I guess, shot one of the referees in the leg because they didn't like the outcome. on top of that, Jack Edwards, our own Jack Edwards, was a borderline hunk in his ESPN days as he was on there. He made an appearance yesterday while talking about Dennis Rodman. And the best thing to come out of all of it, and I don't know how you're going to be able to top the last two episodes, was the story that I'd completely forgotten about. How Dennis Rodman, remember how for the beginning of that great season, it was just him and Jordan while Scottie Pippen was out. He was rehabbing, and they said he might not even come back. There was talk about him being traded. So finally Pippen comes back, and all of a sudden Rodman's not like the number two guy anymore, and he gets like – he just starts playing like crap. Because I guess he wants to feel loved and wanted and important. So he goes into Phil Jackson's office and demands a vacation in the middle of the season. Demands a vacation. The female voice that you are going to hear in this clip is Carmen Electra. This is how it all went down.
I come to practice. Phil calls me and says,
look, you know, Dennis wants to tell you something.
When Dennis wants to tell me something, I know it's not something that I want to hear.
So
Dennis says, I need a vacation. And I look at Phil and say, Phil, what do you mean, vacation? He says, you need a vacation. You need some time off to let loose.
I say, look, Phil, let me tell you something, man. I'm not
alone. If anybody needs a vacation, I need a vacation. We look at Dennis and say, Dennis, what are you going to do?
He says, well, I need to go to Vegas.
Phil, you let this dude go to vacation, we're not going to see him. You let him go to Vegas, we definitely not going to see him. So he looks at Dennis and says, Dennis, well, can your vacation be like 48 hours? And Dennis is like,
I got no other choice. I take whatever you can give me. I'll take the 48 hours. You got 48 hours, Dennis.
And I'm looking at Phil like, you ain't gonna get that dude back in 48 hours. I don't care what you
say. He's done. Okay.
I went to Vegas.
I do remember being in Vegas with him. It was on. The party was starting right away. We'd go to his favorite restaurant, then we'd go to a nightclub, then we'd go to after hours. It didn't stop. But to be honest, I didn't realize what the team's schedule was. I didn't know he took a detour.
He didn't come back on time. We had to go get his ass out of bed. And I'm not going to say what's in his bed and where he was and blah, blah, blah.
There's a knock on the door. It's Michael Jordan, and I hid. I didn't want him to see me like that, so I'm just hiding behind the couch with covers over me. Come on, we gotta get to practice.
He was supposed to be there for 2 days, and he was there for over a week, and Michael Jordan had to go to Vegas and fish him out of a hotel room where he was passed out naked on the floor with Carmen Electra and a bunch of other stuff and bring him back to play. He just said, all right, I'm just going to stay here till somebody gets me. and didn't return home until Jordan had to get him himself.
That's when you know you've made it.
Oh, my God.
You can just disappear, and then there's no consequence. You just go, and they go grab you. I mean, that must be a nice way to live.
So Carmen Electra was contacted by the LA Times, I guess last night, and they asked her about this story. And she said, yeah, Dennis had these rituals to celebrate, and he celebrated in a big way. We were drinking shots. Everywhere we went, people would follow. I always called him the Pied Piper. You couldn't miss him with his colored hair and his tattoos. We'd hit the strip club and after-hours clubs. He said we were having a blast. And as you heard right there, like, she had no idea that it was in the middle of the season. Like, she doesn't follow sports. She's just like, hey, here's Dennis Rodman. And she had no idea he was missing, like, games. So apparently they said that I had no idea of all the behind-the-scenes drama. I had no idea Michael Jordan was freaking out. She said one morning someone started pounding on our door. I was hungover, and we were naked on the floor. Dennis gets up to answer, and there's Michael Jordan. I got up and tried to hide. I knew Dennis was in big trouble by Michael Jordan's face. That was a big deal and a shock to me. She said that she had no idea that it was – she goes, I'm yelling, give me my coat back, because apparently somebody like grabbed – another person in the room grabbed her coat. They said no. So she ends up like having to hide behind the couch with a blanket, and they had to fish him back. And I guess he was awesome as soon as he got back. I guess it didn't take much time for him to bounce back to play in shape.
No. I mean, it must be nice to be, you know, 30 years old and in that kind of athletic condition and – be able to do coke for a week and not sleep and, you know, bang 85 strippers and Carmen Electra and then be able to go right back onto the court.
So I guess that he tried to convince the team to have her come on the team playing with them. And Jordan and people were like, nope. They said one day when the Bulls had an off day from practicing, Dennis said he had a surprise for me. He blindfolds me. We get on his motorcycle. When he finally takes the blindfold off, we're standing at the Bulls practice facility, center court. He said, we were eating popsicles from the fridge and pretty much having sex all over the place in the physical therapy room, in the weight room, on the court. So they're eating popsicles. We're in the practice court and has having sex in the middle of the floor.
Yeah. Dennis has a – you should have – when he was with the Pistons, he was like an 11-year-old kid. And then to see what he became when he was with the Bulls was
shocking. Let me ask you something, Fred. Now, I was reading about this last night. Rodman was a good soldier until Chuck Daly left the team, and then that was it for him. Is that about right?
Yes. Chuck Daly was, like, literally his father. Like, Chuck Daly had to treat him like a child. And I told you the story about Rodman, Chuck Daly being called to the Silverdome, and Rodman sitting
right
there, was shooting free throws and crying like with a
and
gun.
And they went through that. They actually went through that last night as part of the part three of the series.
Yeah, I mean Rodman was like an open scab when he was with the Patriots, and as soon as Daly left, he became that. You know, that's not distracting at all, guys. You just right for wrestle right here.
No, we have to read. We have to me.
Would you mind not doing that here? This is how I make money.
What's going on, Fred?
Well, they've just came upstairs, and they have big grins on their face, and they're wrestling.
Ah, okay.
Zoe.
Hi.
Hi, Zoe.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Watch the Jersey Shore still?
Hi.
Hey, what's up,
Milo?
Nothing much. How are you?
Good. How's Fortnite going?
It's good. I heard more about the Travis Scott event. It's going to be like the same thing for like a week, but the last event's going to be different. I think like Fortnite, there's a map where you land. I think there's going to be a new one.
Cool. But Travis Scott's awful, right? You don't like him, right?
No, I like him. I like Sicko Mode.
Oh, you do like him. Oh, okay. All right. I thought you said you didn't like him.
No, I love him.
Hey, Milo, listen to this.
Yeah?
That's it. Everybody drink.
You know what those are, Milo?
Farts.
You got it. You put your dad on now if you want to.
Okay, bye-bye.
See you, man.
Oh, boy. Everyone's losing their minds. By the way, that
Rich,
Travis
genius.
Scott. What, did you just play fart noises for him?
Yes!
Yeah. By the way, the Travis Scott thing is incredible. That's the way that people are going to that's the new MTV.
That's I saw that. I saw a video of it. It was pretty impressive, actually.
Well, that's the way that people are going to experience it now. I mean, that's the way that people – that's going to be the new music video.
Well, your son is a perfect example. Like last week he said he didn't like Travis Scott, and all of a sudden he loves Travis Scott.
Yeah. Yes, it was impressive. And, I mean, that's just get used to it. If I'm a record company, I mean, this is the way I'm doing everything. As I'm not bothering traditional crap, I'm going right to that video game, right to video games, right to streaming. Because, I mean, he showed off his Nikes. He got to do everything. So if you're a venture capitalist, get in now. Because that's the way that media is going to be released to children and as they grow up. All right. Well, listen, that Pistons team, those Pistons teams were super annoying.
Oh, and, but they were so fun to hate. Like, I mean, who was like a fan of those outside, like who rooted for them outside of Detroit?
I don't know. I'd have season tickets and I didn't like them. I thought they were boring.
I mean, they weren't boring. You think they were boring?
You, when you're 14 years old or 13 years old and it's a, 80 to 79 game.
Every night.
Yeah, every night.
Okay, defensively. Exactly. Okay, I get that part. Yeah, see, okay.
A lot of clutching, a lot of holding, a lot of no scoring at all.
I mean, they had Adrian Dantley, and all Dantley did was take the ball and get fouled. I mean, that guy must have taken 55 foul shots a game. So Adrian Dantley, until they got Mark Guire, but when they had the Adrian Dantley, I mean, that was really boring.
You're going to love when
so boring.
You're going to love Phil Jackson talking about how he was one in the spirit with the Native American tribes and stuff like that, Fred. I mean, he's like one acid trip away from being Bill Walton. Like, he's right there.
Yeah, he's from that generation.
Oh, I mean, yeah.
He's from the, he's a hippie. He's a dumb hippie. Who had Michael Jordan and got all these accolades. And then as soon as he didn't have Michael Jordan, he said,
Hey, Mike, back at the station, can you come out with Party Man when we come back? That song's all right. It's probably one of the worst movie montages ever. It's when, like, the Joker shows up at the art museum and, like, paints over stuff, and it goes on way too long.
Agreed.
It goes on because we just watched it, like, a month ago, or whenever this virus started. So probably about 2 years ago I watched it. That's not a good scene. That film does not stand up, by the way. That does not stand up to the test of time. All right, we'll be right back.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich. And if you want to give yourself a treat today, pop on Netflix and watch The New Girl, where Prince is on. Prince, a big fan of New Girl, requested to be on the show. So they have an episode that is surrounded him at his house. He makes pancakes. He plays ping pong. All the things that he did in real life.
Prince Rich does some weird projects every once in a while. Like, there's that, and I know that he obviously is a fan of the Vikings, but you remember when he wrote that really weird, awful song for them when they were in the NFC Championship?
Yes.
It was the year, I believe, that Brett Favre got picked off to end it, right? To end his career?
There's a lot of pain pills going on.
Oh, man. I remember, like during that game, maybe it was during that game, but it was sometime during that playoff, they showed him in one of the boxes, and he was, like, kind of just lurking, hiding behind stuff. Like, you could barely see him as if he was, like behind a pole, and you didn't want people to see him.
Well, that's why the New Girl is so funny, because he's, like, wants to do it.
Yeah.
And he's, like, completely normal in it. Like, I mean, they play up that he's, like, this mystical guy, but, like, I mean, he's, like, completely normal in it. And so I think it's the only – because if you watch his movies, I mean, he's never normal. Yeah. I mean, in Purple Rain – when he first meets Apollonia, like, it's hysterical.
Oh,
like,
so uncomfortable.
He's behind her and, like, does it, and she's like, and then all of a sudden he's gone, or then he takes the puppet and just starts like moving the puppet around. So like the only time I've ever seen Prince be normal, I think, is on that episode of New Girl. Like he like makes fun of himself. Like it's really odd to see.
Well, think about how odd that is too. I mean, unless they just the reason he did it was for a bag, like just mountains of cash. But he did an entire soundtrack for a movie that was a Batman film.
Yeah,
which I mean, and at the time, I mean, you know, Prince was the, you know, him and Madonna probably like arguably the two biggest musicians in the world at that time. Well, and he Michael said, Jackson. "I'm going to make an entire Michael Jackson too. I'm going to make an entire album for the Batman soundtrack. Not one song, but an entire album." And I don't know if it was just for the money or that he obviously got paid, but he loved Batman. Why that project? It was all very strange. I mean, as I said, you know, the guy is a genius. And you know what? That soundtrack isn't bad. It's not a bad soundtrack. It's
no,
not
a phoned sucks.
In. Party Man's fine. It's that's kind of like a – that one's fine.
I don't know.
Electric Chair was a good song.
They tried to push that as a single, and you remember the video for it, and you're like, why is this on the TV?
Oh, I didn't know. Boy, it's funny. Oh, I don't even remember that being a single.
Yeah, they tried to push it as a single. Yeah, you can – I'm sure YouTube that information. But, yeah, it was not good.
No.
Saying a lot of – you know, Prince, a lot of stuff out there. A lot of sift through. A lot of it not good.
Prolific. Prolific, well, I mean, but mediocre.
There was a period of time between like the album with Seven on it, whatever that one was called, and well, I guess Forever. Like,
yes.
He made like a bunch of albums after that, and they were just weird, like funk jams that weren't even any good.
Yeah, there's a lot out there. If you were to sift through the all the Prince crap, you would be. I would say he's hitting about 10%. But that's a lot of stuff. I mean, you're talking about days of music. So, I mean, you know, if he made like a month's worth of music, I mean, you're getting like a solid half week out of it. So there you go.
Sure.
I mean, it's so there's something to be said for that. But, Prince, I mean, just think of how weird it is that he made Purple Rain. Like, think if someone did that now.
Well,
just how weird it was that project got done.
Like, that whole thing was, we are going to make a feature-length music video. And at the time, that seemed like a decent idea.
I mean, but it's just such an odd thing. I mean, if you said to me, if all the people who are charismatic that we're going to make a movie that's starring Prince, you know, a guy who, like, lurks in the shadows and, you know, plays all the instruments and, you know... is just a weirdo.
Now, listen, it's no The Disorderly starring the Fat Boys.
The Fat Boy is one of the truly terrible acts of all time. You know, as I sit and watch television with the children for a couple hours a day, I mean, we do come across, you know, it's just always on in the background. There's a Goldbergs featuring the Fat Boys. And to see the Fat Boys is to remember just how terrible the Fat Boys are.
Yeah, not good in concert.
Of course, John Wallach saw them in concert.
Oh, hell yeah, I saw them in concert. Oh, yeah.
Who were they with, John? Who were they with?
All right. They were three groups. They were the first group up, and then Houdini was on after them.
Jesus, you're old. Stick them.
That's right.
Stick them. They had a SWAT jam with this.
That's right. This is the closing number. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, human beatbox, baby.
Saw him at what is now the Dunkin' Donuts Center.
Just put it down.
No.
No, but Fred, the headliners were Run DMC.
How old are you?
Very.
You saw the Fat Boys?
I saw the Fat Boys, Houdini,
like
and Run DMC on one bill. 1984.
How old were you in 84?
16.
Jesus, so you went, like, with friends to see the Fat Boys?
Correct. No, no. Run DMC was the draw now. Come on.
No, I know, but Run DMC had been around for a while. Like, Run DMC, because that's got to be that's before Raising Hell. So that
this is right after Rock Box.
This is
right after Rock Box. Yep.
Yeah, yeah. So this is the album before Raising Hell.
Yes.
So, wow.
That's great.
There's Wallace in his pirate shirt.
It's not even before this. That's King of Rock. What the hell was
this album? This album was just out. This one.
No, because I was in middle school when this album came out. I was in sixth grade.
Okay.
So that is not true.
King of Rock, right? Isn't that the...
Yes.
Yeah, King of Rock.
Yes, King of Rock.
King of Rock, because I remember being in New York and walking around to different Bleecker Bobs trying to find it.
Ah.
Did Houdini play The Freaks Come Out at Night like seven times?
Oh, yeah. They did 5 minutes of fun, terrible. Freaks Come Out at Night, Big Mouth. They did it all.
Friends, how many of us have
That's
them?
That's right. That was their big hit at the time.
That's what a good song.
Yeah.
No, 84 was the album Run DMC.
Well,
that's hard.
Is that right?
It's spreading just like the flu.
See, Wallach liked Run DMC before they were cool.
I did.
That was 2 years before Nick was born.
I'm old. We've established this. I'm an old
that's
man.
Like, well, I got to give you respect. That's like before Crush Groove came out.
Yeah. No, I saw them right as they were up on the front side of the bell curve. Yes.
Did you see the Break-In and Break-In 2 in the theater?
No, I did not.
Did you
I
ever did try to break dance?
I did.
No.
Oh, there is a video of me at a food court.
Fred tried it. I never
break dancing with a friend of mine.
Not quite as funny as John Wallach trying to break dance. The visual.
It's so cringeworthy that we did that, considering that neither of us. It was all about footwork. In the robot, like none of us knew how to like really break dance. Me and Matt Dumas, who's really doing well for himself now. All right. We got the stat coming up, Rich. What will we talk about this as we enter week 7 of the coronavirus? What are we going to talk about?
Ooh, the mayor of Tampa gives Tom and Gronk a little bit of a razzin'. Also, Fred, we have a TV show, a new one for you, a reboot. We will get to that as well.
Yes, indeed. And if you want to see John Wallach, he's a hip-hop... I mean, esoteric is probably listening, and he's going to give him props. He and Run DMC before even Raising Hell, King of Rock came out. I mean, I did not know if Run DMC were before King of Rock. I mean, this is before Rockbox, all these things. I mean, this is really... it's like that. I mean, that is... Woof.
That's the way it is. Yep.
That's right, baby. All right, we'll be right back.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
Stack 5, the Sports Hub with Toucher and Rich. The Stack is sponsored by Window Nation. It's Window Nation's buy two, get two free sale. No down payment, no payments, and 0% financing for 12 full months. Go to windownation.com.
So Tom Brady finally took...
I wanted to say thank you guys for welcoming me and my family into your community with open arms outside of getting kicked out of the park the other day. I'm so excited to be a Buck. So we have an incredibly exciting season ahead. I can't wait until we can get together as a team, start our practices, and start working hard to improve. There's a lot of work to be put in between now and the start of the season, but I'm looking forward to seeing you guys at Raymond James in a couple short months. I promise you that. So stay safe, everyone, and let's go Bucks.
Oh, how fun. Well, to that, the mayor of Tampa Bay wrote a letter to both Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski that is just full of fun. It says, "Dear Tom and Gronk, I want to personally welcome you both to Tampa. Tom, my apologies for the miscommunication when you arrived. Not the best first impression, but given my law enforcement background, I couldn't help but have someone investigate the sighting of a goat running wild in one of our beautiful city parks. Hey, Tom, there are so many wonderful activities for your family to enjoy, including the Florida Aquarium, Zoo Tampa, museums, world-class beaches, to name a few. We have parades for just about every occasion, but our signature event is the Gasparilla Pirate Invasion and Parade. The third largest parade in the nation. It's always fun, but you must be ready to, and it actually says this, party. But not too hard. I'm talking to you, Gronk. As Super Bowl is in the following weekend, we need to keep our eye on the prize, a dent-free Lombardi trophy. There's plenty for you to do as well, Gronk. Although we'll have to socially distance right now, in no time you'll be able to enjoy nightlife and eclectic neighborhoods. Places like Soho, Sparkman Wharf, and Ybor City, which is home to the Cuban sandwich. Just remember, no shirt, no shoes, no service is still effective around here, Gronk. Thank you again for choosing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and our beloved city. Tampa is the greatest city in the nation. It's a sincere hope you will both call it, be proud to call it home. Signed, Mayor Jane. P.S. Tom, it's Tampa Bay. You win a Super Bowl, and we'll discuss Tampa Brady. Oh, they are so small town. By the way, you know what that reminds me of? Remember when Jacksonville?
Oh, yeah.
Made this video about how great they are with the old people?
Living in Jacksonville.
With us.
We're not going to end up in the grave.
Yeah, this is basic. I mean, they're looking forward to get. That's the reality.
Old?
Okay.
Going by the, they die. Crazy to.
You know, like, where are they?
Talking to a lot of girls. Imagine he's still.
Davis, of course.
Jaguaring. I mean,
skateboarding, man. Yeah, man. Hang on, he's hosting.
Oh, please, no. He just
but that's the Jaguar
this week. It's my love. You can follow about an hour.
Well,
Jules, sure, call me know. Hank. I thought you were in the. Like, you're so used to telling people to stop. Go ahead.
Oh, I want you to sit back and get ready for the trailer for your favorite new show, a reboot of one of your already favorites.
Baystar! Remember how much fun high school used to be?
You believe that was like 30 years ago.
These kids, they can be sheltered.
You're so hot and popular. You're like Justin Bieber if he wasn't like 100 years old.
And clueless.
Baystar is 99% paperless, so getting your books is kind of a pain in the ass.
Oh, it took forever.
Time out. What did that blonde fool just say to me?
You know what that is, Fred? That is the reboot of Saved by the Bell that will be coming to your television very soon.
By the way, congratulations to Elizabeth Berkley, who is much more attractive now than she was 30 years ago. So congratulations to her. Yes, this is a reboot that will be on for, I would imagine, 3 episodes before they decide to pull the plug on it. This is something that got greenlit, I think, without a lot of thought to how successful it would be. But indeed, it is a reboot of Saved by the Bell, where Slater is kind of a loser in this one. He returns to Bayside as a gym teacher who's down on his luck. Mm-hmm. Elizabeth Berkley is the principal, and Zach Morris is the governor of the state of California, and one of the kids at Bayside is his son.
Oh, well, at least they stay themselves in, like, the 90210 reboot, where it was, like, a weird...
It was a meta kind of situation with the 90210 reboot.
That didn't do well.
Yeah.
No, that was not good. That did not get renewed. Mm-hmm. That was on for one... I think I saw 2 episodes of that before I capped out. I crapped out. And I've watched every Jersey Shore. So, by the way, have I announced to you guys that I know someone who was at Dina's wedding? Not Dina, Angelina's wedding?
No.
Huh? The infamous Angelina's wedding, where the Snooki has announced now she will not do the Jersey Shore anymore. So I know someone who was there. Had a video chat with her.
Did they say anything to give you any details?
Yes. Apparently the JWoww, Diener, Snooki, the meatballs, they did a toast that was in completely bad taste and infuriated the bride, and it was real. So I get like that it wasn't a setup, that like she was literally pissed, and that the audience was like, whoa, because her husband is Angelina's agent. He's an agent to the stars. So that's what I got going on. I had a nice conversation about that.
Oh, very nice.
It's probably the highlight of about 2 weeks of my life recently. It was a nice 10-minute conversation about Angelina's wedding.
Oh, well, that's good. I know that your kids love the Jersey Shore as well. I'm sure they probably like the inside deets.
My daughter, not my son.
Oh, okay. Well,
my son likes Fortnite, and that's pretty much it.
Well, even though the Red Sox, not to drastically change subjects, but even though the Red Sox essentially got a slap on the wrist for what they did with the big cheating scandal, David Ortiz was on MLB.com, and he doesn't seem to like the punishment at all. Here he is with A-Rod as well.
They were searching, trying to find out if anything that happened at Houston happened in Boston, and basically it wasn't even close to similar situation, you know? What happened in Boston is what everybody's doing in the league right now. And I think the punishment was not fair, to be honest with you. you have a guy, you're going to blame a guy, a video guy, you're going to suspend him for 2 years just because he's watching what the catches are giving. Fastball, slider, breaking ball, changeup. Tell on the player so the player can use it on the field. Ah, that's what everybody's doing. So I don't call that cheating.
You don't call that what?
I don't know. It's
I understood cheating, about cheating. Okay,
cheating.
Okay.
I understood about three quarters of that. Kenan Thompson, by the way, if you watched the highlights of the AV Club, they dissect the episodes of Saturday Night Live, so you don't have to watch it. You just can click on the YouTube videos. And they had another one from home. Kenan Thompson, by the way, a lot of those people living in Los Angeles, California.
Yeah.
Kenan Thompson does a David Ortiz, and I don't understand the impression or why that's supposed to be funny.
I mean, he does just because he just names the food and stuff. It's like a one joke bit, pretty much.
Yeah.
But I saw the whole episode this week. I thought it was fine. There was one skit though that it was almost unfair. Remember, I've always talked about that Journey song where there's the old singer and then, you know, Steve Perry comes in and just like blows him away and it's like, get the F out of my band, and you find out where the real talent is.
Yeah.
There was a skit that was done and it was Pete Davidson at the beginning of it. And then Adam Sandler shows up halfway through it.
Yeah.
If you want to see the ultimate dichotomy between one person's level of talent and the other, that was it. Like, yeah, I mean, it was in full display because Pete Davidson, it's like not even funny. And then Sandler comes in and just does it. Wasn't even like, and even for Adam Sandler, it wasn't like an over the top great thing that he did. It was just good. And he killed compared to Pete Davidson.
Throwing, yeah, they're throwing Davidson a life raft. They're just like, here. Like, here's Sandler.
Yeah. And Sandler was very good.
You're super famous. Like, you're more famous than anyone by far on our cast. Like, we want to keep you around. Here's Sandler. Like, next thing Eddie Murphy's going to be in a skit. The next thing, I mean, like, they're trying anything.
Fred, this is where
we are. Keep that guy relevant.
This is where we are right now because, you know, like, I'm just finding weird things because, you know, obviously you're just trying to keep your kids busy. And so for some reason, we reached the end of the internet and I showed them the David S. Pumpkin skit because I knew it was, like, going to be harmless and they would find it funny. And all of a sudden, I've become re-obsessed with that skit. And I know we've all seen it a million times. But I read, like, the oral history of the David S. Pumpkin skit.
And how Hanks didn't want to do it, and how he didn't, like, get it.
No. Hanks at the beginning was like, sure, whatever. You know, I'll do anything.
No, I know. But he didn't get it. Like, he didn't understand why it was supposed to be funny.
But then he started doing the finger guns thing. And just from there on, they're like, okay, we're going to build around that. And the best part of this skit, that nobody finds is the best part, but for me, it makes me laugh every time. And they talked about it, was they said, what should his first line be? And David S. Pumpkin's first line is, how's it hanging? I'm David Pumpkins, man. And they talked about how first it was like there was a lot of explanations where, you know, he was going to try to explain, like, are you the Canadian Freddy Krueger? And it's like, no, I'm David Pumpkins. Like, it was going to be like, wait. But then it just ended up being the less words, the better. Hank started doing the finger guns. They're like, just do an entire thing with that and we're good. But that, I mean, you want to talk about reaching the end of the internet. I've done all of that.
They made a cartoon out of David S. Pumpkins and it was awful.
It was just weird.
It was terrible. And like, it was like, I get it. Like, it was a super, you know, iconic skit and they wanted to get a little bit more mileage out of it. But sure. I mean, if you can't make 20 minutes of a cartoon entertaining, then you've got, it's a flimsy idea.
Well, I went down an SNL rabbit hole. So I went from that and I found one of my favorite all time commercials. And that is, speaking of Adam Sandler, the Cluckin' Chicken. And it's the one where it's like the cartoon chicken head at the chicken restaurant. It's like Phil Hartman, hey, Clucky, what makes you so chickalicious? And he goes, that's because I'm flame broiled. First you tear out my innards. Guh, 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 guh. I'm losing blood. I can't see. Then you turn me into solid waste. Ooh, stinky. Ooh, guh, guh, guh. It's just Adam Sandler. They gave him such carte blanche to do whatever he wanted for about 2 years. And it was glorious.
And they fired him.
And then they fired him.
Yeah, because it was the lowest rated that show's ever been. It was when Adam Sandler was on that cast. The lowest rated Saturday Night Live. They thought they might lose the show. They thought that during Sandler's time there, the ratings were so bad that Lorne Michaels was afraid they were going to cancel the show.
And give Lorne credit because they came back with a bunch of nobodies, but like some of those nobodies ended up being, what's his name?
Will Ferrell.
Will Ferrell.
Will Ferrell. Yeah.
And the cast of women that they hired after that were amazing. Like well, Sherry O'Terry, Molly Shannon.
Yeah, they've really gone on to big things. But if you.
But they were great on the show. They were great on the show.
If you want to. See something very funny. YouTube Jim Brewer talking about Norm MacDonald and Chris Kattan. Like, Norm MacDonald just was awful to Chris Kattan. I guess, like, Pamela Anderson was on, and Chris Kattan's like, oh, I, like, love you. I just went on here. And then Norm MacDonald's like, you're gay. And he wasn't. So being like, what do you want Pam Anderson for? You're gay. And Chris Kattan, just infuriating Chris Kattan. So, I've watched more Norm MacDonald over the last 7 weeks than I would care to admit. Sometimes more than once. So Norm MacDonald, a bevy of stuff. Just watch him doing the endorsements for the Man Grade, which is a barbecue product that he had to hawk on his podcast. And he was not too happy about it. And it was until he lost the sponsorship.
All right. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.